All right, welcome everybody. As you may or may not know, I'm giving a presentation instead of the Amazing Joe, which I know a lot of you guys love and have great relationships with. And she asked me to come and do this specifically because this happens to be something that I do quite a bit. So a little bit about my background. I run an agency, a creative agency, that's a seven-figure agency, which means that I'm in the top 1% of the people that do what I do. We do collections for American Airlines and Hawaiian Airlines and whiskey companies and stuff like that, all the way to packing all kinds of events. I started off doing events in the MLM industry. So a lot of people that are selling their supplements and stuff, I was actually responsible for packing one of the largest events in Australia. At the time, MLM stuff was kind of moving into there and they hadn't seen anything like that. And that's where I got the nickname, the Golden Boy, because every email I would send would get $10,000 in ticket sales on a consistent thing. It was enough that she could count on it. And the way that we did that was always consistent, and it had a lot to do with the positioning of an event. So how many of you here have thrown an event of your own or are planning to throw an event? Everybody, hopefully, right? Let me ask, does anybody want to answer, what is the purpose of an event? As a business, as CEO entrepreneur, what is the purpose of an event? What? Exposure. That's a good one, to sell the next event. Okay. Profitability. Very good. So one of the things that we see so often, and especially with people that are healers and people that are, they have a heart to coach, to make transformations in people's lives, they want to throw events for the benefit of the audience. They want to do it because the impact that they're looking to make is exponential. And you'll hear the same thing from so many people. It's not about making money. I don't do it for the money. But when you don't do it for the money, you often don't reach the right amount of people. And if your money is not coming through on something that you're doing of service, a lot of the time it has to do a lot with the alignment. And so that's probably the most important thing for anyone throwing an event, is to understand what is the positioning. So positioning is a really important thing, because people can often misassociate the problem that they solve, the services that they provide, with the audience and the positioning. Right. So if your goal, of course, is to make a difference, the best way that you can serve that purpose is to position yourself appropriately. Positioning is all about, what's the problem that you solve for that specific person? What is the transformation that they're going to make? And the event is not a standalone appendage to your business. It is actually in line with your offers. Right. So many of you have your services that you provide, your core offer. In a lot of cases, it's an hourly session. Sometimes it's a course. Sometimes it's an experience with a beginning, a middle, and an end. But that's going to be positioned for the chocolate chip cookie of your audience. If anybody's ever visited an Otis Spunkmeyer, you've seen the cookie stands that they have. You'll notice that when they're opening up these stands, because I've thrown some events where we've had these kind of vendors sponsoring, and you can watch them barreling in with their stuff. They'll have 80 boxes of chocolate chip, 3 boxes of macadamia, and a couple of assorted boxes with everything else, right? They know that the vast majority of anybody who's going to be coming in is going to be looking for that chocolate chip cookie. They have a distinct understanding of their core offer, right? And so for many of you, that core offering is going to be something along the lines of, I spend X amount of time with them. They get access to these materials. They can maybe log into this membership site. But for most people, their core offer, for the sake of scale, needs to be some form of a done with you experience, right? We're going to give you the materials. We're going to walk you through part of it. And then we're going to make sure that you don't get hung up, right? For most people, that's where their core offer stands. The rest of us also have an upsell. We have something where it's, if you're going to do it with us, then you can pay more and we'll do it for you, right? It's a common sense thing to do. And you're going to run across these people in your audiences. But the problem is, the sales cycle on a big ticket is almost always longer. Makes more sense, right? Costs more money, going to take longer to get somebody to say yes. And so the key to getting somebody who would maybe spend the core offer amount versus somebody who's going to spend the money for the upsell or the big ticket, right? Because everybody here should have a big ticket offer that's big enough that only 1% of 1% would be willing to take. Now, when you have these, you may go years and never run into the right person who's qualified and qualified and motivated. But the challenge there is that you failed the indoctrination process. So once somebody has spent enough time with your brand, with your experience, it makes it a lot easier for them to make a purchasing decision at that high ticket level, right? So if we know this, if it's a matter of time, right? And currently, so back when I started doing this, they used to say it would take 6 to 15 touch points before somebody would be ready to make a purchasing decision. Now it's somewhere between 10 and 30. So if you know that to be true, that means that I have to see you at the event. You saw Ashley, it's cool. Then you get on my list and you get 3 or 4 emails from me. Maybe you read 2. I do a webinar. Maybe it's a 30-minute type training. You might come and spend that 30 minutes with me, right? But when you come to an event and the authority is throwing the event and there are other authorities there that are under your authority, that indoctrination period gets shorter, exponentially shorter. And so understanding that an event is not an event for event's sake, it's about creating an indoctrination cocoon where we can spend time in an environment of our own making. Because when we do that, we start getting past the mental blocks. They see you in your element. They see other people that have gotten the results, right? And so if we understand that the event, the packed event, is about creating a primed pipeline full of qualified people that may not be, they may have been not qualified, slightly motivated, or vice versa, that time spent will help them decide that they need to find the money for it. Because I think a lot of us can agree with the problem that you solve. If you could actually solve that problem for them and they knew that with complete confidence, the money becomes a secondary thought. They'll always find the money. It's like Harley Davidson people. Harley Davidson people, I don't care if they live in a trailer, will always have the money for a Harley Davidson, right? Anytime I hear somebody say in a setting where they're trying to make sales, my people just don't have the money. They're not convinced. We have not broken that indoctrination level. There's a seal on it that has to be reached. And the most efficient way to do that is with an event. So if we know that it is a tool for moving people up our pipeline and get more of our non-buyers to our downsells or our core offers, and then taking people who've taken our core offers and getting them to take an upsell, and the same thing, to take those people that are qualified and motivated, our stars, and we push them to our big tickets. Many coaches, many people that run these types of businesses can never get to the point where they're selling their elite VIPs because they don't have an indoctrination tool. So with events, packed houses. So if you know that you have a core offer that solves a particular problem in a white gloves experience, how do we work that backwards to start laying the dots so that somebody can connect them without feeling sold? Because that's one of the worst things. How many of you guys have gone to an event and it's a pitch fest? Did you have a good time? Nobody has a good time. But if the alignment is there and the dots are there, how many of you bought something at an event that didn't feel like they were sold to? I'm the biggest buyer. I buy at all the events. Why? Because the best salespeople are often the biggest buyers, right? Because we're dreamers. It's easy to get somebody to imagine. And those are the three most important persuasive words in the English language. You, imagine, because. You, or any variation of somebody's name, imagine because it opens the door to possibilities that we can't realize. And then because justifies it, right? And so if we know these are the elements of persuasion, how do we pack a room with that? And it all starts in somewhere that people hate to hear. And it's because it takes some doing. Where does McDonald's make their money? Does anybody know where McDonald's actually makes their money? Soda. It ain't French fries. It ain't hamburgers. It's real estate. So when you buy a McDonald's, you have to lease it from the McDonald's Corporation. And they go and do all the survey stuff to make sure that that property is going to be profitable. It was the traffic all along. The fact that we're familiar with the brand is happenstance, right? And so when it comes to your business, because we're all exactly the same, and anybody who saw Rich talking about this yesterday will know the answer. What is the digital equivalent of real estate? It's your list. Your list is where the traffic actually is. And you have your website and you have your domain. That's going to make it easier for people to find you. But that traffic the is manufactured, in your case, in your list. So all of you have access to the ability to build a list. And building a list does not mean doing any type of advanced digital marketing necessarily. There are 1,001 ways that somebody will, especially experts, which is why I'm really not a fan of gurus. Because gurus will typically tell you, well, I'm the lead magnet guru. So I'm going to show you how to, you're going to make a lead magnet. Here's your top 10 things. Or here's how to get these conversations started. The reality is, all of you are already meeting people on a daily basis. There's already 25 qualified, motivated people that you've probably met here. But the problem is they become business cards. And those business cards get left on desks and under stuff. And I regularly go to events, and sometimes like you'll end up, so if those are tangible things that are not making you money, then how do you turn that into something that will actually be usable? So for those of you that have a CRM, makes perfect sense. You're going to want to go and put your contacts into a list. That's fine. For those of you that don't, I made six figures with a spreadsheet. You can absolutely do it with a spreadsheet. It's about being diligent and having discipline and making sure that you're always doing the same things all the time. And like my mentor taught me early on, anything worth doing is worth documenting and repeating. I never do anything. If I'm throwing an event, it's not about me throwing this event. It's about creating the environment and the structure for me to be able to throw event 3 and event 5 and event 7. Because most of the businesses that I've worked with that make multiple 7 figures doing these types of events, it's usually a tentpole event. It's something that they throw either every year or every 6 months, and it usually solves a particular problem, right? Either you're not a speaker and you want to be a speaker. You're not a stage hypnotist and you want to be a stage hypnotist. You are a employee. I've been to events where they're literally taking people from employees to entrepreneur. That transition begets a conversation, and that conversation sets yourself up for the offers. So everywhere that you go, be mindful that the secret to packing your event is packing your database. It's the least sexy, most valuable thing that you can do for yourselves. And I'm an old Infusionsoft partner. I got actually certified at campus many, many years ago. I know Clayton, the CEO, and his twin brother, Jeff. He had a startup called Jump with 2 P's that I helped him with way back in the day. When we would throw events, or when we would host events, or when we would shark events, I love sharking events, we would end up with our business cards, and before we would go to dinner, we would open up either Snap on Infusionsoft. For those of you that do have Infusionsoft, you can take out that app and take pictures of your business cards. And then those will automatically get added to your database. Lots of CRMs do that. Yeah, back in the day. Yeah, cool. Yeah. It's funny. Back.
Can we take a picture for Jill?
Hi, she's amazing. So they're not the only ones. And back in the day, it's funny because it used to be people manually doing it. And then, so they would take the picture and it would take like 30, 40 minutes and they would show up. I was like, that's magic. It's like a decade ago. And then we find out that it was actually people over there. They had a team of people that were physically entering it for you. And then they went to doing it digital, and I think they're back to having people do it. But the bottom line is, if you haven't done that step to turn the people that you're meeting into a list, then you'll never be able to pack your event. Or if you do, you're going to be playing the Sisyphus game, rolling that boulder up a hill on a regular basis. Because the problem with events, people think, well, that you see an event, the person gets up at the keynote, they kill it because the room has been primed, right? And you don't realize that because you didn't see that most of the people that are there, they met them in an event somewhere. They were at somebody else's thing. They were speaking on a webinar and they said, hey, you know, if you found this interesting, come by XYZ. And that slowly beget the audience that makes it easy to throw an event. Have you ever seen the coaches that will launch a new program or a mastermind or something, and all of a sudden it sells out and it's done? And you go, well, my content's better than theirs. So why is it that they can run this thing and sell out immediately? It was the list the whole time. They have been curating the data, the least sexy of all the things they could have done. It wasn't graphic design. It wasn't the fanciest copy. It was simply a matter of high-touch conversational communication over time. The problem-solution model always wins. And I have 3 rules to sideways communication, and that's not the topic of this, but when it comes to the point that you have the data, and we get to the point that we want to start engaging the people, I have 3 rules. Number one, be the most enthusiastic person in the conversation. No one will ever exceed your energy. They will only ever meet it. Number two, be the most grateful person in the communication. I'm so appreciative that you're part of my community. I'm so appreciative that you are of XYZ, ABC, and 1, 2, 3. Thank you so much. That gratitude in the messaging goes such a far way. It essentially washes off the sales smell. And the third, don't sell. When it comes to reaching out to your database and you're getting people to do stuff, if you're enthusiastic enough and you're grateful enough and you've laid your authority, all you need to do is put the offer there and people will gravitate to you. It's one of the craziest things. And the best part is they won't feel like they've been sold, because it's a matter of laying the dots. And Rich is a master of this. He will lay dots and then people will follow it. Why? Because it's about solving a unique problem that only his authority can solve. And that's what's so unique to creating a curated database, because the people that you're going to meet are going to be predisposed to your offer, as opposed to running an ad to strangers. You'll see people that say, look, I'm going to do an event, so I'm going to run an ad to this thing. That's only ever a supplement. It should only ever be a supplement, because it's always easier to continue a conversation who you've created that relationship with than it is to get these strangers to say, hey, this is a problem that they can solve. So how do we do that? Anyone who has a database, I want you to assign yourself an exercise. We have to stay in touch. And this is one of the most difficult things for a lot of people. Like, I'll ask people casually and say, hey, you have a list, and I'll say, you're reaching out to them? And they go, the most defensive way they possibly can, well, I don't email them too much. I try not to. It's almost like they're afraid to contact the people that they've earned the right to communicate with. You have an obligation. If somebody gave you their business card and you don't follow up, you're out of integrity. It is not a burden for you to reach out to them at least twice a month. Everyone here, if you're not making six figures and you're not sending out two emails a month, I can't help you. Like, you, the simplest thing you could possibly do is be present. What is it? 80% of success is showing up? 80% of success is showing up in their inbox. Crazy. So what, if then, is going out? A lot of you don't have an event in mind. A lot of you are getting to the idea of you want to throw an event for the very first time. If that's the case, the very first thing after you get positioned is to identify who in your audience is going to be the best fit. Because not everybody on my list is going to be a best fit. I'm not going to be emailing my millionaire friends to come to something that I'm going to be speaking at. These people want the white glove experience, and I know they're not going to open the email, first of all, unless I actually send them a text message. Hey, Doug, then they'll answer me, because I understand those portions of my audience, right? And so if you're getting ready to throw an event, I don't care if it's a one-day event, a three-day event, a tent post event, or even doing a digital event. If you have your list segmented and tagged appropriately as to who's who, you will always have a higher conversion rate. What is a conversion rate? It's a really fancy number, or it's a really fancy way of saying how many people actually engaged in a thing I did. Right? So we can't, and for those of you who have been doing this for a while, you probably remember we used to track open rates. Right? We'd send out a broadcast and we'd say, oh, well, we got a 35% open rate and a 7% click-through rate. Anybody who's been doing this lately will know that they took the rug out from under us. Right? So we can no longer track the open rates correctly, because on Apple devices, it will pre-open all the emails. So all of a sudden, probably about 5 years ago, it was really funny, because all my peers, all of a sudden their open rates shot up, and then they start going around like, I'm the baddest marketer you've ever seen. It's like, yeah, because those are false numbers, right? And so it took about 2 years before people started to figure that out. But inside your list, you have subsets, and those subsets are going to be predisposed to whatever that event is. So let's say you are doing, and for the sake of most of you, the very first event you're going to do is probably going to be a digital event, just because ease of use. It's a great way to practice the content. And if you are going to do that, start identifying the parts that you know are going to align with your offer, not the things that are going to make people, quote unquote, feel good. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be a service provider first, but most of you are also CEO of your company. Please. Which one?
is aligned with your offer?
Oh, absolutely. So if I know that there is an audience that I've met that is interested in offer positioning, and my event is about writing effective copy, they may or may not be the best fit. Yeah. Now, at the same time, if the indoctrination is strong enough and that list is strong enough, you'll still get those people. But you're going to write those messages that's for that subset of your audience. If you're speaking to everyone, you're speaking to no one. Anytime that you are, so there's three effective ways of communication when we're sending out nurture to the people that are going to be coming to our event. Because again, packing your house means packing your list, right? So when we go to reach out to them, there's three models of communication. There's many to many, right? Everyone here at My Marketing Pass is so happy for all of our members that are out there changing the world. Doesn't really feel too good, does it? Because I'm now a group and you're now a group. Then there's one to many. I, as CEO of My Marketing Pass, am so happy that my members like you are achieving X, Y, Z, and ABC. Slightly more effective. The most effective way of communication is, Jeffrey, thank you so much for being a part of this community. It's because of people like you that we're going to be able to do X, Y, Z, and ABC. I spoke to him, and then I spoke about us collectively. We're now on a team. And Joe got me this bracelet. It says, not today, Satan. the self-doubt that will get in your way when you start speaking one-to-one, it's almost like a gravitational pull. Because we're taught in business to use these colloquialisms and say, we're going to synergize. And we're going to, if you wouldn't say it to someone at a networking event, don't put it in an email. And I mean that. Read it out loud. I have a character, little archer character, and he sits on my computer. And when I'm writing copy, I will actually read it out loud to my little archer character. Like, I'm making myself feel very uncomfortable. And then I'll go back and rewrite it in a way that a human would say to a human.
You mean archer with a bow and arrow or yeah. Archer with the freaking props?
You want ants? Because that's how you get ants. Yeah, this guy gets it. Yeah, archer's great. No, I have a little green archer character, and everybody who's doing copy gets in their head. And packing your house means connecting with that list, and connecting with that list happens one-on-one, not one-to-many. So when you do reach out to these people for that event that you've positioned behind a particular audience, we are going to speak one-to-one. You will have exponentially better results. Matter of fact, I get people that respond to me thinking that it's not a broadcast message. We do a whole bunch of stuff for this financial planner company. They have a couple hundred financial planners. And I went to go see him in Florida in December. And this one guy who's like, you know, he loves our stuff. I work with this guy all the time. We get to the end, they're kind of, you know, bragging on some of the stuff that we've been doing. And this guy stands up and he goes, I just can't tell you how nice it is to have a marketer that cares so much. Ashley, sometimes he emails me and just says, hey, David, how you doing? Those are automated. Those are automated. The entire indoctrination process is on rails. And what's funny is because the guy running it knows that. And so we did that side eye thing. I was like, but why? We are not tricking anybody. We are not unduly motivating people. We are taking something that we did for an individual, right? I met this person. I wrote them that personal message. I waited 3 days. They didn't click my thing. I wrote them personal message to a message. Anything worth doing is worth documenting and repeating. If I write an email to one person, I make it great because I know that that's not the, I'm going to send that email out into perpetuity. It's now become an asset. Every email I write becomes an asset. Every funnel I build becomes an asset. I will rinse and repeat that. And anytime you're doing something over and over, we can tweak it. It's an engine. Mm-hmm. What? Absolutely. And so I'll start getting in there and split testing messages, which is a very simple thing you guys can do. It sounds complicated. But did you know that in your system, most of your CRMs, you can go on the same block and say, send half of the people this email, send the other half this. And it will randomly select it for you. Now I can take two data sets and go, this one converted at 14, this one converted at 4. And since I know this is not going to be the first 15th or 50th time I'm going to be doing this, it behooves me to go and cut the one that doesn't work, ask myself, what worked about the one? Was it friendly? I'm going to be friendlier. Was it short? I'm going to be shorter. If I left them with a cold prickly, so we're doing stuff right now for a company that does certifications for electric vehicles for fire departments and police. I'm going to sit there and tweak that thing. And if I get a bad conversion rate, I'm going to cut that and I'm going to go, oh, well, they were skeptical of me. I'm reaching out to police chiefs, some of the most skeptical people on earth. So now I'm going to go even more transparent. So I find out that, okay, the police chiefs don't respond to anything except cold pricklies. And that's another thing. Anytime you're reaching out in marketing, you have two choices. And it's the same in any type of conversation. You're either going to leave someone with a cold prickly or a warm fuzzy. Both are equally effective for different things. When I'm marketing for Darren, I'm talking about he almost lost his son in a fire, an electrical accident. Thank you so much for your service, Officer Jones. It's because of the quick thinking that my son's alive. How can I support you? You know how many messages I get back from police chiefs all over the world with that kind of messaging? As where if I went to them and said, hello, my name's Darren. I run a certification course for police officers who are looking to keep more of your officers alive in electrical fire. You think I'd get any of those conversions? No. Because I'm speaking one-to-one. I'm speaking to my audience. And it's aligned with my positioning. It's no extra effort. If you're doing this properly, it gets easier and easier as you go down the line. Because you're never creating something in the ether. It's only ever building your platform. And that's really what you're doing here. You can't pack a house without a platform. If you think that the event is independent, if it exists in its own world and your business is over here, you're going to have a bad time. Because you're going to be working your butt off to fill this room. And you're working your butt off to run this company. Those two things need to be aligned. The effort will be exponentially less. The results will be exponentially higher. And you'll start to get the type of community that I think all of you guys see in other coaches and other people that are farther down the line. You see that and you want it. That's how you get it. And it goes back to the coaches that I work with that when they put out a mastery product and that thing sells out, it's because they had 40,000 people on their list. And it had 16 segmentations and I split test four of them. And you know what? It sucked the first time. But it didn't suck the third time. At a certain point, it becomes a system, a platform that you are not trying to hold up. If you're sitting there trying to maintain this whole thing, you're going to have a bad time, especially for a lot of you that can't hire an event coordinator. And the best part is for most of the stuff that you're doing, you don't need one. You just don't need it. You can actually align your offer proposition and get some of your partners and some other people to support you. So let's talk about that. Any questions about positioning, communication, or lists? I know. I'm the worst. Yeah. No, people always want the magic bullet, and when I tell them it's the data, the sad look on their face. Aww. But it's the easiest thing. I can control the data at home in the dark with my feet up. Right? That's control. If I have to be in front of a webinar or I have to be out in front of people, that's not control. Right? So the data are the dollars. Can't pack a house without packing your list. Next, please.
Okay. So lists are linked to getting their business card and putting it in.
Mm-hmm.
What are really good lead magnets that can really grow a good list?
You. You're a better lead magnet than any checklist or downloadable or white paper. So in this case, you're meeting them in person, or you're meeting them in a social setting, or you're meeting them by introduction, or you're meeting them by referral. You won't need that. The only time you need to have a lead magnet is if you're running to cold lists. And a lot of the time, cold lists are very rarely where I go. So if I were to want to pack a list, before I would reach out to somebody on Facebook, a cold message, or any of those things, you know how much easier it is for me to pull a list on LinkedIn Navigator? And find people who are in X industry or have X job title or any of the things that set them up to be a good fit for me. And instead of reaching out to sell them my services or say, hey, are you dealing with weight loss, smoking, XYZ or ABC? I'm a hypnotist and I can help you with, they'll never respond to that. Even if you said, here's my 7-point checklist, I've helped 5,000 people. Doesn't matter. But if you say, hey, Harry, my name's Ashley. I saw we're both entrepreneurs and we seem to have a lot in common. Would love to share networks. Would you like to connect? I'll get him every time, right? And so now he's on my list. Within one or two conversations, I could say, oh my gosh, that's so interesting. I'd love to hear more about it. Do you have some time to talk later this week or early next week? Now I've got his contact information. And the cool thing about doing this kind of stuff in a warm manner versus trying to get cold people to look at your value proposition and go after your services is that it's so much easier to connect with a human. It's not B2B, it's not B2C, it's H to H, right? Human to human. Please. I can. Oh yeah, I can. You launder it the same way you launder money. Yeah. No, I'm serious. So if I have somebody's contact information that I reached cold, and I reach out and I say, hey, such and such, saw your ex, and I start that conversation, then the second that I have them respond to me in any way, or then now that's a human interaction. I can reach out to a person. Yeah. And the more you know about that audience, the easier it is to launder them. So if I know you're a CEO entrepreneur and I go back and, oh man, I'm a CEO too. Hey, do you want to talk about something else later? Do you know how many times people will just give you their email address? And that's like letting a vampire in. Game over. Yeah, I will never stop emailing you. Buy or die, I will see you later.
You know, people do that, and I'll respond to them one-on-one. Hey, you're this.
Yeah.
But as soon as I respond back, mm-hmm. They start selling to me.
Boom. Don't sell. See, that's the thing. All of our businesses have a choke point, and that's the place where a person makes a purchasing decision. Right? If it's a call me model, like in that case, it's a one-on-one. If you know that that person doesn't buy unless they've spoken to you in person on Zoom, for instance. So like most of my sales, let's say 95% of my sales, somebody's going to talk to somebody first, right? So that's why I say most enthusiastic, most grateful, and don't sell. I will never sell in the messages. Even when people say, well, what do? I don't tell them what I do. I tell them my story. Because the story is the most important thing when it comes to that human-to-human interaction. Right? So that element of feeling sold will kill your sales every time, as opposed to getting them on that Zoom call and then having an open conversation. They'll almost always, it's so funny, I'll have conversations with people on Zoom. I'll prospect them. I'll get them on a call. We go back and forth. I focus on them the entire time. I don't even sell. And then I use the social contract and the reciprocity, because if I spend 20 minutes talking about you, I've had people literally like, well, time's getting short. What do? Tell me more about your stuff. And I've spent so much time with them that I now have an open floor. Now, if they're not a psychopath, some people are psychopaths, right? They will never ask about you. And then, you know, we have linguistic patterns that we use to break that up. And, you know, but the vast majority of people, if you get on a sales call and don't sell, focus on them, they'll reciprocate. And that's when I get them.
I don't know if you're going to address this or not, but when I have a real problem sending out to me, I get very uncomfortable sitting on a series.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And you're feeling that because you as a service provider have such a huge heart for people that you're putting yourself in their shoes and you're judging yourself.
Oh.
Yeah. So those judgments are the gravitational force keeping you from getting where you're going. And it's not until you break past that. And it's like gravitational force. Yeah, they'll try and pull you back in. They will. And everyone here, I take as a service provider in a capacity that means that you care deeply about the people that are in front of you. But as CEO of a company that just so happens to provide amazing services in hypnosis, you have an obligation to yourself, to your family, to your team, to your future team to be profitable. And if you put those systems in place in a way that provides value, you don't have to worry about those things because you can bring on another team member to care that much. Your obligation as CEO is to make sure that this company scales so that you can make an impact. Because if you have no money, you have no impact. And one of my favorite things to do, just as we were talking about the LinkedIn thing, you know, calling somebody who is a cold call is one of the most painful things that most entrepreneurs will ever do, picking up the phone and calling a stranger, right? But if you are reaching out to somebody who is in your LinkedIn connections, I can say, hey, Sean, my name's Hans. I work with Ashley at My Marketing Pass. You and him got connected on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago. Does that ring a bell? Awesome. The reason for the call today. And they immediately go, they will book a high percentage of those calls because it's no longer a cold call. And it's such a small thing that they gave us. They literally just said, accept my connection. So when we talk about where we're going to find these people to pack your house, right? Because you can't pack your house unless you pack your list. And you pack your list by the people you're going to meet in person, all the happenstance people that you're going to be running into. And if that isn't enough, you have to have the numbers. And so LinkedIn is a really great place to do that. Also, going to other people's events. If you want to throw an event, start speaking at events. Speak at events. Get your value proposition together. And you will meet people in those rooms. That's where a great lead magnet comes into play. And you know what the best lead magnet I've ever put as a speaker? My slide deck. My slide deck. I have a slide deck with over 100 slides. So I have two keynote talks that I usually give. And both of them are very long slide decks. They're more slides than I can cover in an hour. Right? That's over 100. So I'll get up to a certain point and I'll go, oh, this is really great. But we don't have time for this. Click, click, click. And I'll go past it. And I'll do that a few times. And by the time I get to the end of it, I go, you guys are amazing. I don't normally do this. But if you'd like the slide deck, and then they will do whatever that thing is. And now I have their contact information. I almost always convert 60 to 70% of the room. But I didn't have to come up with a separate thing. I just had to provide the value in a way that left. So that's what the problem solution model is. So everyone who's attending, so like everyone here, I know that you have a problem in your pocket. So we call it the problem in your pocket, which in this case is you would love to be able to throw these events. You would love to build a community with sub speakers that are coming in and filling your event for all of these amazing things, right? And so if I know that about you, I can create a way to pull you into my list. Now, it's not something I'm doing here, but it's the content that will separate the buyers, the looky-loos, and the people that are not qualified or motivated. Does that make sense? So if you're speaking at other people's events and you've gotten this stuff, you've started to build your list. You've started to get enough people that you feel confident that if you did do a one-day event, a two-day event, a three-day event, a virtual event, you'd be able to fill enough of the seats. Well, you now have the opportunity to bring in people to support your mission. So the same way that a lot of you have spoken at other people's events and probably didn't have the results that you were hoping for, you now have the opportunity to identify those mechanics and build them into your system. So that, again, your event is positioned behind your value proposition and your offer stack. Because if those people are coming in and you have supplemental people supporting you and that conversation is going and they're providing that value, you're going to be able to build authority and get them to act a lot sooner. Because it's that indoctrination model. So I know Joe has, and for everybody, this is a really cool thing. I'll make sure you have access to at the end. Joe has put together a really great checklist for all of the things that you should be doing when it does come to throwing your own event. And it's really cool because it starts off with like 4 months before. And it says and it's a lot of these elements, right? Making sure that you have enough people to draw from. Your pool is deep enough. The indoctrination is in place. The value proposition is strong. The offer stack is in alignment, right? And then it's a matter of promoting. So when's the best time to start promoting your event? Yeah, who said now? Now. Yesterday, essentially. It's never too early. And even if you don't have dates yet, even if you don't have a venue yet, we have the opportunity to get people excited about it. And it's also a great litmus test to start figuring out. I can look somebody in the eye and tell, oh, I'm doing an event. It's about XYZ. If they glaze over, well, why didn't that connect? And it's a great way to just kind of shop around whether your positioning is right. If you go around and you're saying it to a couple people just, you know, nonchalantly, and they're getting so stoked, they're like, oh my God, when? Yeah, no, that's great. Oh, that's cool. Are you going to be doing this? You'll always get those leading questions. You know you're in the right place. And if you're being top of mind in your messaging and you are emailing out twice a month, there's nothing stopping you from having a little throwaway line in there. We're talking about this, but then we're going to mention, we're solving this problem. We're getting ready to do you have any, if you start laying those dots, the people will identify themselves. And that begets a shorter sales cycle. That's where authority happens. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I didn't have the thing up here, so I'm going to check this list here. Yes. Okay. So leveraging your partnerships. Make sure that you're only partnering with people that aren't going to suck the money out of the room. I know, crazy thing. But I can't tell you how many events that I've either thrown for somebody or have been at where it's almost like watching a vampire come in and take over something that they had no business doing. I've seen people that will say they're going to do a soft offer or say they're not going to do any offer at all. And then they go and they do. Make sure you're trusting the people that you're going to be having get on stage. That's probably some of the bits. Yes, agreements. So anybody who's going to be speaking with you, for you, involved in any way, we are going to have a contractual agreement. Super important. Now, that puts us in a place of power, but it also puts them in a place of power because we have an obligation to put a certain number of butts in seats. Anytime you're speaking in an event, one of the first things you should ask is how many butts are in seats? How many people paid to be there? Right? Great things to know. And so when you are partnering with somebody, they can help you pack those rooms. Who here has heard of a swipe file? Swipes? Cool. So if somebody is speaking at your event, let's have them help you promote said event. So we can do that by pre-writing 5, 10, 15 social media posts. Generic. Not coming from us, but just hyping up the event. We can pre-write 4, 5, 6 emails. We can pre-write 2, 3, 4 blogs, right? And they're all talking about the value proposition and the fun part. It doesn't even need to have the logistics of it. It just needs to be enough to start that conversation with their audience. And so when somebody agrees to speak, not only are they going to be following certain protocols when they're on stage, but they're going to be obligated to do so many touch points on your behalf. So you can do that either by saying you can give them a certain pricing on their seats in exchange for filling X amount of seats, right? So their speaking will be at a certain price if they bring a certain number of people in. Or you can do it based on touch points. So you can say, or you do 10 social media posts and 2 email broadcasts, right? And it's going to be different based on the quality of the people that you're bringing in. Some people, especially when you're doing the event for the first time, because like we talked about, it's never about doing an event once. We're always setting up the platform to be able to do that event again and again and again. And so if you're doing it for the first time or the second time and the people that are speaking there, because every year you do it, the speakers will get better, right? So if those first ones are not able to move a certain amount of seats, then go with the touch point model. Say, hey, you got to do these amounts of touch points. If they have a list, because again, if they have the data, then you know that they can do it. If that's the case, then say, hey, you know, speaking is usually $3,000, $5,000, $10,000. If you bring an X amount of seats, certain percentage off. And that's usually where most people should be going, right? Because as you scale, it's less about you. It's about the conference. It's about the event. It's about the community. It's about, but at the beginning, you have to be very mindful because you have to pack the event. You have an obligation to have butts in seats because you guys are amazing hypnotists, but we're going to do something really important. Today is a huge day for all of you. Are you ready? You're all fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. Jeff, you're extra fired. You are no longer the best hypnotist at your company. You are CEO of a company that just so happens to have great hypnosis. And we're going to start behaving like CEOs. The events that we throw are not for fun. They're not for ego. They're for revenue. And they're for building a community that will get more revenue in the future. Pack your list. Pack your house.
How do you about that?
It depends if the audience is worth it. You know, I always want to know if the audience is really going to be right for my offer or if it's just going to be for my own ego, right? And so I'm never going to pay for something just because I want to be in front of people. I'm not, right? Some people will. And if your business is not succeeding because you haven't created X authority, then it might behoove you to pay to be on a certain stage. That video is valuable. The having your name on their stuff is valuable. Being on their website is valuable. But for most of us, it's a waste of money. I would rather reinvest that money into doing something that I can control. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for the right people, you know, that could totally be great. But it's like a lot of people that they get their degree and then they turn around and they're like, I'm ready to be a millionaire. Guess what? Nobody cares. Because once you're out of college for a couple of years, the only thing people care about is your experience. It's very similar. So at a certain point, that authority is very valuable. Once you surpass that, it's not worth it. They pay you to speak. You don't pay them to speak. Questions? We're going to pack our list. We're going to be intentional about the audiences. We're going to organize our people. We're going to identify the people that are predisposed, and we're going to stay top of mind. And when we stay top of mind, we are not going to sell. We're going to be enthusiastic. We're going to be grateful. We're going to get that conversation started. We're going to take them to the place where we sell. It's going to up our conversions.
Let's say we're doing a small partner event somewhere. Mm-hmm. This is basically to pack the list. Best way to get names, just pass the iPad or what?
It depends. Like, I've had tremendous success with butt drops. Have you guys ever seen a butt drop? So if I were to have done a butt drop, I could have come in and put a paper on each one of these seats. And then when somebody comes in, they have to pick up my paper before they can sit down. I'm in your hands already. I could put a QR code up. I can say, visit ashleywilkes.com, right? There's not a right way, but I will say as you do this, you will find a way that converts the best. And again, anything worth doing is worth documenting and repeating. Don't ever be, if somebody asks you to speak and you're coming up with a talk on the fly, you're probably wrong already. It should be a rehearsed presentation that we give that we can test the metrics of and make an effective tool over time. That's where you win. That's where you all win. Anything worth doing is worth documenting and repeating. And then automating. Cool. Questions? With a list.
What if you don't have
any? Oh, that's fine. Do you have a spreadsheet? Yeah, go to sheets.com or sheets.new. If you just go in the domains, you get sheets.new, it'll open you up a brand new spreadsheet. And you go to the top, you're going to say first name, last name, phone number, email, lead source. Okay. Sure. So how many people did you meet here? How many people did you meet here?
What if this isn't my ideal audience?
Okay. So what is your ideal audience?
Probably 25 to 35.
Okay. So sure. But if they want to get into hypnosis, so if we're talking about a state change, right? I'm not a hypnotist. I want to become a hypnotist. Well, what was their prior state? Are they an entrepreneur? Are they an employee somewhere else? No, it's one or the other, right? And once we identify how we change somebody's state, right? So if you're a therapist and adding hypnotism would make you an additional six figures, I know where to find those people. I can literally go on LinkedIn and type in whatever profession I'm thinking. I can go North America. I can go solopreneurs, 1 to 10 employees, 10 to 25, 50. You know, I can go in there and I can go into my search bar and say, not students, not assistants. I can even go so far as to say, interested in woo-woo. Like, I can go in there and start looking at these key target behavior indicators, and that's just on LinkedIn, right? You have so many opportunities at your, where do you live? Cool. There's got to be plenty of people there that are gathering somewhere. Making yourself present and getting that data, it's just a matter of intentionally being in front of them. And sharking events is one of my favorite things to do. Back in the day, we couldn't always afford to sponsor an event. So I would go, and my job was to meet every person in the room and get their business card. And I used the most powerful phrase in marketing. Doug, I'm Ashley. We haven't met yet. which indicates that we should have met already, right? And they will, oh, yeah, nice to meet you. And the next thing you know, the card comes out. I've got them. And as long as I've gone through every single person, and again, like I said, before I go to dinner, I'm going to enter all those cards into my CRM. I don't eat until, right? How many times I've been sitting at the bar after a long day, me and whoever I'm working with. All right. Takes 30 minutes, 20 minutes, maybe. And then that list, you got 15, 20, 50 people. Yeah. It doesn't seem like you're not going to win today. But if you do that, a list of 500 people that are qualified, potentially motivated, six figures.
You're the first person I've heard at a conference in a long time talk seriously about LinkedIn in a positive way. Where can we go to learn more about how to use LinkedIn as a marketing tool?
It's a big part of what I do. You know, our company is the elite in LinkedIn lead generation. So if you do want to have a conversation with that, let me know. Don't listen to anybody who hasn't made $500,000 on LinkedIn. Don't listen to them. They're going to have every reason in the world why. Like, I actually have, we have companies that do LinkedIn lead gen that hire us for LinkedIn lead gen.
Because I just see so many people doing it poorly.
Yeah.
Like the exact words come out of your mouth are coming from people. It's like, you know, I see that you are X, mm-hmm. I am Y. We have so much in common. No, we don't.
Okay. But here's the thing. They lied.
Yes.
Because they said in common. The anchor wasn't strong enough. Right? So, and here's the other thing. Just because you wouldn't respond to it doesn't mean that statistically speaking, enough people wouldn't respond to it where you could be profitable.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't ever bring judgment into prospecting, because you're a CEO, right? And so you're operating up here. Most of the people you're working with are operating here. And so if you judge what you think their behavior is going to be based on what you're, it's the same thing like when you're a CEO and you get employees and you're like, I shouldn't have to tell them to do that. I would do it. Yeah, that's why you're CEO. If they could do it, they'd be CEO, right? It's the same thing.
So how does everyone get?
Ah, yes. Please email. I got it right here. Please email. I believe it's joe@hypnosisworld.com and put the subject line event mastery. And she will send you a multi-page checklist with some really cool stuff. I was going to show it to you, but you know, you wouldn't be able to see it on the phone, but it's a really great tool. Super great. Even starts with like the pre-messages to send and when to. It's a really good list.
Plus, if you want, and Ashley is my best kept secret.
Yeah.
He's a big part of the stuff that we do. He's, you know, again, we're starting to expose him now to all world. He's obviously a wealth of knowledge, the best I've ever seen. And you know me, I'm always looking for like the new edge. So he's going to be a big part of our platforms going forward. If you guys want more of what he's got, the LinkedIn stuff, you know, all the other marketing stuff, all the other funnels stuff, he's, again, the massive part of it. We have two events where he's going to be now part of the events. We have the Bahamas one. For you people in the elite program, you guys get the Bahamas event for free. But if you're not, you know, you can come to the Bahamas event also. Which is January 14, 15, 16 at the Atlantis in the Bahamas. And we also have